Burning down the house on Coast to Coast AM. This is Connie Willis, as the big man said there. And I want to remind you about the paranormaldate.com. It's free to sign up and check out. Be sure to do that. You can use code SUMMER and you get a big discount. I think it's like 40% off if you want to get further involved. It's also available in Canada too. And we're now at over 49,000 members. So if any of you, by the way, get married or something really cool comes from it, please let us know, because we want to talk about that. We think that's really cool. There's also, don't forget, conspiracydate.com. Remember, you are not alone. We're all in this together. Paranormaldate.com, conspiracydate.com. And if you need more information, you can just go to the coasttocoastam.com. Also, the same place where you can go and see the slides that we're talking about that Samantha Sam Ritchie is discussing, and you can refer to it there as well as her sites and the information there. It's all there at the .com that we've got for you, and that .com is Coast to Coast AM. We are back, and we are talking to Samantha Sam Ritchie. I want to get right back into the conversation because, you know, we could talk for hours with you, Sam, on these great experiences. But I appreciate that we have the slides on our website so that we can know exactly what it is you're talking about. We can look at that, and hopefully people can get a chance to do that for those of you that cannot right now, that are driving, you know, wait and do it later. But how difficult is it to get pictures like this? Because, Sam, the thing is, you know, it's all about, you know, all you ever hear is you can't get pictures of these things. And people say, oh, that's a blob squatch. But actually, it's a squatch.
Well, especially if you, I mean, I didn't have to really enhance anything on especially fifth slide, which is the second picture of the what we're referring to, the same Sasquatch, that where you could actually see the body. I mean, part of it is training your eyes to see this. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to see the crystal clear picture that people are expecting. That's the one thing people argue, which is, well, it's not clear enough for me, so I'm going to dismiss it. But you can't do that, because there are reasons why they maybe at some point in time I can, on another show or something, get into this whole color spectrum, where our eyes can only see a very narrow section of light, and the ability to actually emanate colors in the ultraviolet range will cause something to obscure. Basically, our eyes can't see the density of that, and so our eyes don't have the receptors to be able to see that. So, if something is completely ultraviolet, for instance, like if this is the color spectrum that they're emanating, then it's going to appear like a really dark shadow, and you can't even see detail. And hence, it's probably the reason. It's a theory of mine, which I'm working on, and I've presented several times. But it's the reason why they're often referred to as being in the shadows, because they look like shadows, because of this color that we can't see. You know, it's absorbing all the light. It is reflected back, but our eyes can't pick up that that color band. So there's a whole discussion in that, you know. But
I love it.
Part of it, too, is the photos. Actually, cameras can actually see things sometimes that your eyes can't. And so you rely on that just enough where you're able to see what you're seeing right here on these slides.
And what kind of picture or what kind of camera did you use for this?
This was just a basic Verizon cell phone camera I was using.
Oh, excellent.
For this in particular.
So anybody can do this. This is good.
Could probably do this. The problem was I was running into, because they're going to try to be, they're not going to be really up close to you, so they're going to be some distance away. They're going to be away at least 200 feet. And, I mean, if they're going to be visible, they're going to be at least 200 feet. I'm not going to get into the whole, there is a whole aspect of them that they can walk right up to you and you not know it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's part of the cloaking thing, and I know that's kind of hard for a lot of people to, deal with that particular aspect of it.
Well, how do you think, since we're going with your theories, how do you think they cloak themselves? How are they able to do that?
Well, if you want to get into it a little bit, I was giving reasons beyond the colors. First of all, they have various techniques of being able to be stealth in the woods, and a big part of it is being able to reflect back the colors that are around them. For instance, I've got multiple pictures, of course not here, but I've been able to see that they've been able to emanate the same color green, for instance, as the surrounding leaves or the ferns and things like that. So, or any other colors like the tree, the color of the trees. They can stand right in front of a tree and blend in with the tree, for instance. But now the aspect of cloaking is something a little bit different. Cloaking to the point where you see right through them actually involves this whole idea of vibration. And you start getting into the science of quantum physics. And we're just now learning more about that because everything is vibration. Atoms, everything's in motion. So there's a frequency of vibration that we're all, physicality has. And this probably comes along the line of modifying that vibration, basically, so that it's phased off from what our vibration would be, to the point where light rays would just kind of go right through it, basically. I was showing the illustration of that with a fan, for instance. You know, when the fan blades aren't turning, you can't see. I mean, you can't see it through a fan blade, basically, to see the other side. But turn the fan on to a certain speed, and as far as you're concerned, everything is visible to the other side. You can see right through the fan.
Right.
You can shine a light through it. But stick your hand in there, it's a different story.
This is true. It's not a good story either.
No, it isn't.
Is this something that you think that we would be able to do as humans, that we could do or maybe eventually learn to do?
I will mention a couple of things and experiences. I don't want to get but I have read of two different instances that were related. One individual in particular was the Eastern disciplines, like the Eastern religions and, yoga and all the different practices and things to really gain energy control of your body. The experience was this individual was sitting in a chair and got basically phased out and became invisible, and the wife screamed, and then he phased back in, and it was just a horrendous experience for the wife that this guy was able to do this. So I've heard of this kind of situation, I've heard about the ability of levitation. I mean, there are certain abilities that it's possible with human. You hear inklings of this with humans being able to do this. And you can just imagine that perhaps the Sasquatch are a lot more advanced in their abilities, that they have a lot more control over what they're able to do with not themselves, but even the environment that's around them. They're master energy workers, in my opinion, to be able to manipulate and be able to do what they're doing.
Right.
So,
because they're manipulating everything around it as well as themselves. So then, you get the people that believe, they are solid creatures, they're just like us. And then you have, where we're talking about with you. Do you think there's two different kind, or do you think it's just the same?
No, I think they're just as physical as you and me. They're not as, when they're able to perform these things, so the idea is they're able to do it because we haven't learned to do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
See,
have we not learned, or has it been suppressed?
I think you're saying the magic word there, aren't you? you're referring to my book. I get into that a little bit. More of a philosophical discussion.
I love that. That's what we're here for. Let's go.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
It just goes back to the human, I'll just flat out say it. Try not to get, basically human race is a suppressed race.
Yes.
And it goes back thousands and thousands of years. We want to talk about hybrids and about the hybridization of the human race. we also talk about, you know, there's also the aspect the Sasquatch themselves are a product of hybridization. You know, a lot, maybe many, many, many eons before the human came about. Okay. So, but who did this? You know, and it's very well the people that are controlling the situation on the earth today. You know, and, you know, it that kind of veers in some of the things that I do separate research other than the Sasquatch. And, you know, unlike my book, I alluded to it a little bit. And I call them the controllers, basically. And the controllers are part human. They're part, I call them underlords. You know, these are the malevolent ETs that think they can own the human race, basically. You know, and they're one of the reasons I think they're suppressing the knowledge about the Sasquatch, because that's a bit of knowledge they don't want people to have, and it's just like suppressing everything else, like giant skeletons that are being unearthed and things like that. You know, or, you know, and I don't know what. I don't want to be at liberty to say certain things, you know, that...
No, that's why you're here. You go for it. You know, it's your thoughts, it's your ideas. That's why we're wanting to meet Samantha Sam Ritchie.
Yeah, but I have my opinions about those things. And you know, what I'm really kind of, you know, I'm trying to not focus on the negative aspects of what's going on to us as a race. And what's really happening in the woods is that I'm tuning in, basically. And it really goes back to this whole psychic sense that I was talking about before. Was my intuition, my ability to go out into the woods is I can feel that same intuition, like with the number synchronicity, where I'd know the number was there. I could feel it. I could feel like that combination of 444 or 44 was around. That was almost like training, you know, and it still happens today, but that same feeling I get in the woods, it's a sense of knowing. It's just like I know they're across the lake, for instance, and then what I'll do is I have a high resolution camera, so I'll take a picture across the lake, okay, and into the woods, and then I'll later take a look and there's a couple of them there. I just have developed a sense of knowing when they're around. It isn't, you know, and people kind of like dismiss it and say, well, you know, how can you end up having all these pictures? You know, that's what's really driving people a little, you know.
Right, where they're not believing you. It's just you've got too much.
I mean, I'm all about credibility, too.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And about science. Because, you know, I'm a very technically oriented person in my background, everything from electronics to programming and things of this nature. So I'm really concerned about providing evidence, you know, and the pictures for me are a very big deal. One thing I've learned from Dr. Matt Johnson, of course, is that, you know, I want to be able to take a picture, and you're taking a look at the picture, it looks like a Sasquatch. And what I do is I painstakingly go back out and take it and find the exact same spot I took the picture before and take another picture of the same area. And then what I'm able to do is cross-match the same spot, and then I'm able to prove that something's there and something's not there now.
Right.
If something is still there after a week later, then maybe it's just that magical stump or something that looked like a Sasquatch, so I walk up to it to confirm that or deny it. You know?
Yeah, and it's best, you know, instead of even doing it at a later date, you know, right then and there, you know, take two or three shots, choo-choo-choo, at the same spot.
Well, that's what I do. Actually, that's what I do. Every time I make a habit of taking a background picture, I'll wait 15 seconds, take another one, and the same. Then wait 15 seconds, take another. So there's like three or four pictures. And you're banking on the fact that if something I was 15 or 30 seconds ago is going to move off or something, then I have a comparison to be able to see. You know what's really there. Mm-hmm. I have found some amazing things confirmed
you've got some amazing pictures of different looking creatures, beings, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Where are you believing they're like shapeshifters? Are you believing they are, you know, or there's just many different things?
Let me relate this one experience before we get to the bottom of this hour. But after I had this experience with the one that we're talking about, and this was October, obviously, of 2014. A whole year passes, and I'm going through the same steps. I finally decide I'm going to go public about the portal and the orbs. So I do a walkthrough in the same spot, but I have my video camera with me. And I'm walking, talking the story about how I turned around and the breezy trees and everything. I was feeling euphoric. And so I'm videotaping this, correct? And so I get it on video. I post it on YouTube. And then a user writes back. He says, well, what about the big thing standing there by the tree that's watching you and then turning its head and moving back? What are you talking about? So I go back and look at the video. And all of a sudden, I see this thing appear. It materializes. And then it morphs its head. I mean, This is the thing. And if someone were to go down to slide 7 on the slides, mm-hmm. on the Coast to Coast site, this is what I'm talking about. From the video, this is what I'm seeing.
It's crazy.
And if you take a good look at it, it looks like a gray alien at this point. Mm-hmm. But as the video progressed, it started changing shape, and at one point it looked like a Bigfoot, then it looked like something else, like a wolf or whatever, and then it disappeared behind the tree. So that was, matter of fact, the size of this thing, if you go down to the 8th slide, what I'm showing in the 8th slide, I'll go back out to the same area where this thing's standing and this big, gigantic head, and I make a determination that it's 11 feet tall. And then I show a comparison of me standing in the same spot. I'm only 6 foot tall. And you can see how big the head is and how tall it really is. So it's probably in that area he's standing, it goes down into the creek. So maybe we're not talking about 11 feet tall. We're talking about 12 maybe, or 13. You know, so this giant creature just appears out of nowhere. And this is how it happens. I go back out to document something else, and then something else happens.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So...
Do you have a good spot? I mean, you know, because some places they don't have anything,
this,
you know.
I call this little area the Field of Dreams because this stuff always happens. And right up to even last week, I had a viral article that went out that a Sasquatch highway sighting that someone had, and I went back out in the woods with a friend at night. And we witnessed an aura of different white lights that were shining through the trees in the same area, right in the same spot. This is a high-energy area. There's a portal here. It probably comes and goes all the time, and this is where these creatures are coming in and out from. So that's probably why I'm seeing a high degree. And the fact that my tuned psychic sense is attracting them to me as well, so there's a symbiotic relation of me drawing them in, and their curiosity, perhaps, of the fact that I'm able to detect them or that connection I'm having with them for them to even appear on the videos and the pictures.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I love this. I love this. I love this. And if you love it, too, well, stay with us because Samantha Sam Ritchie is going to continue talking to us for our very last segment here. We thank you for hanging in there with us. Again, go to coasttocoastam.com. You will see the pictures and the slides that we're talking about. Amazing stuff. We've got more to come. Stay with us. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. And the most listened to overnight radio program in North America, Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, Walking This Way, Run DMC with Aerosmith there. Another great tune. Love it. You're jamming here with me, having a good time. Talking with Samantha Sam Ritchie about some really good deep stuff. We're going to finish up our show with some even deeper things and find out the outcomes of some of her theories and what her theories are, and we'll get to that next, so don't miss out. You want to follow along with us? We definitely have some really cool slides that she's put on coasttocoastam.com, and while you're there, make sure you can be a Coast Insider. It's only 15 cents a day. You get podcasts and downloads. You get to listen to the past shows 24/7. You know, it's available for you live or demand. The auto streams are all delivered with high quality. You got the best of the best stuff. You can listen on your computer or mobile device and just, you know, all kinds of goodies there. You can sign up by going to coasttocoastam.com. Like I said, stay with us. More to come last segment and some really interesting stuff. Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis on Coast to Coast AM. Samantha Sam Ritchie telling us her experiences in an area called Field of Dreams. Sam, I want you to discuss this a little bit more in detail. I too have, by interviewing people and by being out at the right places at the right time, and there's a connection with these creatures, beings. People get mad when you say creatures. I mean, all this political correctness has got to go, but as you know what I'm saying, there are lights in the sky that are seen around these. There are, and I even go into the Men in Black area. I'll go as far as that as well. Portals, the orbs, you know, where people just think Bigfoot. No, none of that goes with that. But I disagree. I think all that is a part of the Bigfoot. And do you agree with that? Is that what you have seen? And what is it all about?
I would say the Sasquatch were the entrance into a very big world that goes beyond them. You know, our sense of reality is only what we've been conditioned and taught, you know, our entire lives. And these events of being able to see these things kind of it breaks you out of this frame of mind that you think reality is what it is. It isn't. There's a whole lot more to this world that, you know, that we could ever possibly fathom. And in my case, not just having just one experience, but having multiple experiences, and, you know, not only seeing the, as we just discussed before the break, we were just reviewing this very tall, morphing-looking creature. And, you know, that was just last year. That was about a year from the time of, you know, and then a year before that was the portal. But I think that portal becomes active every so often, and these things are coming through. And I guess the other thing that was shocking was, you know, when that larger creature appeared, that morphing one, that was like August of last year. I came back out around September, so it was almost like identical year, like it cycled an entire year, like September 9th versus September 12th when I saw the portal. This is September 9th of last year, as opposed to 2014. I did the same thing. I walked through this little valley, turn around, take a picture, and then I see two strange beings standing there in my picture. One kind of looks like a Sasquatch, and then one looks like an alien ET female. With wearing clothing, with kind of a weird-looking triangular face with pointed ears. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's humanoid-looking, but it has obviously is staring right at me, and there's a young one that's being huddling next to her on there. That's actually on the slide. If anybody gets a chance to go on the Coast to Coast site and actually see the slide number 10. 11, 12 actually show this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't see this at the time when I'm taking this picture. Like half of this picture is untaken. I'm like back home on my computer. That's where my jaw is dropping. That's when I finally see it after.
Right.
You know, I'm just in total disbelief. It's just, and it just convinced me all the much more that there is things coming and going out of this area all the time. Which I did not include here, I recently, up on the ridge above this area, there were two very human-like faces looking down at me. But unfortunately, one of the faces, and I did a comparison picture, and it was a tree in the other one, but the face was actually looking through a tree, but was in the tree. The face was sticking out of the tree, but the rest of the body was behind the tree, if you can figure that one out. And it's very, very bizarre instances of this thing, of these things happening. And they continue to accelerate in happening. You know, so I'm trying to come to grips with the veil, in my opinion, the veil is becoming very, very thin, and the veil is decreasing. And it's not just the field of dream, what I call the field of dreams area. I have other areas, but I hear reports of these things happening more and more to other people, you know, that are in my local area, that say they're experiencing, that now they come out when, you know, our whole area knows who I am. So, you know, the big
sure.
Bigfoot researchers. So, there's a, and matter of fact, there's probably a big group of them in Greenwater right now hearing, you know, that I want a big, big shout out to them because.
Hey, everybody.
You know,
hey, from
so
Coast to Coast.
They're probably huddled around listening to the radio down there, you know. But they all, a lot of them appreciate this, and some of them have really have some very weird, and they're becoming to the area of paranormal as well.
Well, what is so, it? Why? What? Why are these things in the woods? What? I mean, what are they here for? And why the woods? Why not somewhere else? You know, what is it?
Yeah, trying to figure out the purpose. That's part of the thing, and you know, because they're there. Part of their job, well, first of all, is it's a matter of safety for them to be out there versus they can't be, you know, they can't, you know, their whole point of being, they can't be really be in our town or anything like that. So that's that. But I think they're out there. They're always observing us. So, you know, if we're walking in the woods, they're watching us and they're making determinations of some sort. You know, stacking us, you know, sizing us up to see if we're worthy of something. You know?
Is that what they're doing, or are they, you know, or is it like, hey, maybe it's like a carnival on their side of the portal, and it's like, hey, 50 cents, come over here and see some humans in the forest.
Well,
come walk in the woods.
Too. That's a, yeah.
Right?
That's like, they're coming through the portal for an excursion just to watch the humans walk through the woods, you know?
I know.
Like no, I don't know. That's a good question, but I do know that there's you know, and we're talking about beings that are, you know, like what I talked about, like 13 feet tall or human size or whatever, or maybe a little bit smaller. But as of late, some pictures I've been seeing, I'm looking at the micro level, and I'm doing a little bit more research on it, and I did a presentation on it, but you know, I probably have captured a few pictures of little people, basically, and I'll say it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the possibility of that, and I've been doing more research about that, trying to do comparison pictures and seeing what that is all about. But they're associated with the orbs as well. So it just seems like everything's connected, and even humans with special superhuman abilities. I will relate this one last thing as we're closing out the show here. You would think the portal and the orb that I saw would be the most awesome thing you'd ever seen in your life, but I got one that tops it, and if you probably read the book, you probably know what I'm talking about. But I'll briefly say what it was. As one of the campers at one of our Barb and Gabby campouts, there was this guy, this couple,
oh, yeah.
and their daughter.
I wanted to ask you about that, yes.
Yeah. And he started having the Sasquatch start coming around, and they were, and the girlfriend said, yeah, they were coming sitting on the hill, and the little ones were sitting here. So they were attracted to them for some reason. And then the girlfriend, one day I was in Greenwater, and the girlfriend's friend was saying, oh, you got to come out tonight. John, you know, I'm just saying, John's got something
John.
To show you. You know, I'm thinking, what? And so, no, you got to come out and see this. So I'm thinking maybe he's going to have a Sasquatch walk in the camp or something like that. So I get there, and then he's sitting there in the little campfire going, and he bows his head down. All of a sudden, I hear these hoops out, you know, this like hoops out in the these howls out in the woods. 15 seconds of it, and then it stops. He raises his head up and says, I asked them to do that. And I said, oh, that's pretty awesome. So this is what you wanted to show me? I said, no, I got something. No. Oh, no, that's not what we're going to show you. So he walks out behind the tent, and it's dark outside, actually, and there's, you know, you can see the canopy of the stars up above. So he's gazing up there looking around, and he's trying to pinpoint something. He finally sees it, and so I'm standing there, and so he points up at the sky, and he helps me triangulate one fairly dim star that he wants to point out and get my attention to. So as I'm looking up there, he says, "Watch this." So he takes his finger, he kind of concentrates a little bit, and he moves it over just a little bit from right to left. And all of a sudden, this light in the sky I'm watching, which I assume was a star, moves with his finger.
Crazy.
Then he moves his finger down in a U fashion, and the thing suddenly moves in the same and follows suit. And then he moves his finger out to the left, and the thing just speeds up and takes off. And I'm looking up there, and I'm going like, "Oh my God, I would easily paid you a couple $100 just to see this." I was just in awe. And then he was relating that as a kid, his mom, he given up in the home because his mother didn't appreciate the fact that he was moving pencils from across the table with his mind or finger.
Oh my goodness, how cool would that be to have PK? My gosh.
Yes. So he obviously has extreme telekinetic capabilities to influence something way up in the sky. And so that story went on, and they finally caught on. He was doing it 7 times the night before, and then he showed me he could only do it once because whatever was up there caught on to it, and they kind of retaliated. And that's a whole different story, which is in the book.
It is, and it's a great book, by the way, folks. I mean, definitely, you know, you're going to hear some really, really unique stories. Before we do go, though, because I know it is getting closer to the end, I do want to know, you know, do you feel you have, like, a mission, you have something to do with all of this for the world, and what do you think you might find out as the outcome, or have you already figured it out, do you think?
Well, to a degree, because of the fact I've kind of alluded to that in communicating with the Sasquatch, there's I am empathic as part of the psychic ability, so I'm able to feel, I can sense feelings from other people or other things or entities, and I have established a form of communication with them. And I can, it's almost like a sense of knowing. I kind of know how they feel, which I can translate into our human thoughts. And so my whole objective in being out in the woods is very mission-driven, is to basically, it's kind of forming into me being a human ambassador for the Sasquatch, basically, to kind of help people appreciate that we need to change our life. The way we've been, our lives have been manipulated, how we live has to change because that's part of the manipulation. You know, the materialism, I could go on and on. Everything that we've done in our life has just got to change. And that's going to be hard for people because it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable for the planet. You know, I talk about that in the book. And it's just something that's got to, just something that's got to be done or we're going to be an extinct species. The Earth will go on, but the humans may not.
Where does God fit into all this, or the Creator, or other, you know, life anywhere else?
God does fit into it. Well, you know, from my standpoint, I think about the connectedness of our spirituality. I always say I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, so I'm not affiliated with religion per se. But I do feel that spirituality plays a part in the fact that we're all connected. There's a oneness and the consciousness, and we need, the reason we have problems is because we separate ourselves. We feel that we're separate from everything. We're separate from the animals, we're separate from the earth, and that's not the case. There's a symbiotic relationship between everything that exists, and we have to realize that.
Yeah, I think more and more people, you know, even if they just think as simply as their pets, I mean, look how close they are to that. So, you know, if they
absolutely
can relate it to everything else, yeah.
Yeah, and so there are more and more people I'm finding that are coming around. You know, I talk to other people, and I, you know, part of my thing is speaking at the conferences that we have up here. And, of course, I do the monthly version of the Team Squatch and USA meeting in Puyallup that Matt originally did, and he's now doing the one down in Medford, Oregon. So I'm very much engaged with that group, you know.
Well, yeah, I just one one more quick thing, and I love that what great people. When I got to go to that conference, just wonderful people to meet. I wish there was more time to have really sat and talked with everybody and stuff. But I wanted to ask you real quick about the pendulum. I guess you've got some little powers going on as well.
Oh,
with moving some things.
Actually, let me tell you that real quick, because I talked about that. I was discovering that I was using the pendulum basically for yes and no answers and things like that for that. But I was finding out that I could concentrate and hold it very steady, and then just by concentration I was able to move it. I could turn it in circles, I could make it wildly, go back and forth wildly and stuff like that. And people attribute that sometimes to involuntary motions of the hands and everything.
Oh, right,
but,
sure.
I sat in a restaurant with a friend who came up from another country, and I said, let me show you this. So I was doing the same thing with the panel, and he was sitting across from me. He said, give that to me. And he held it in front of him like that, and real steady, and his arms kind of like against the table. And then I did the same thing. I concentrated, but then he looked like he was going to pass out. And he says, what's wrong? He says, well, when you were doing that, I felt something hitting my chest as you were concentrating. And then he said, well, here, just put the pendulum down and just put your arms up like that, and let me sit across from you and start concentrating toward you. And I did it a couple of times. He really did pass. I mean, he fell off the table.
That's good stuff.
He felt the sensation of energy pounding into his chest every time I was blinking or kind of, squinting toward him.
And that stuff is real?
Huh?
That stuff is real. We got to go. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's just that stuff is real. And what Sam is telling you about, I'm with her all the way. And you can check out her book to find out more information and get the details. Hey, Sammy, thank you so much. That was great. I really appreciate it.
I had a lot of fun. I hope to do it again soon.
Planet Sasquatch as well, right? .com and YouTube.
Sasquatch.com, and just search Planet Sasquatch on Facebook, and also YouTube, just find the channel and the Facebook group, and that's all you have to do.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you again, too, to Carrie Campbell. Take care. It was kind for both of them to give us their thoughts and everything, learn a little bit more from them. We really appreciate that. And also, thank you for tuning in with me tonight. I appreciate that and hope you enjoy the show as much as me. If you did enjoy the show, please write in here to Coast AM and let me know and let all of us know. So from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, again, many thanks to Samantha, Sam Ritchie, and also Carrie Campbell, and you. Also, Julie Talbot, Bill May, Kirk Wesley, Tim Banal, Lex Lonehood, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Dan Galante, Tommy Danheiser, Sean LaDesueur, Nathan Staten, Lisa Lyon, George Knapp, Donna Walker, and also George Norrie. Thanks very much. Until we meet again, everybody, please keep watching the night skies. Don't forget Blue Rock Talk, the new thing, bluerocktalk.com. That's me and my new show. Thank you, George, for letting me talk about that. It's Earth's Most Interesting Conversations with me. So continue with me here and there, and to seek out the strange and also uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, until next time, I'm Connie Willis.